It all started with a series of faded yellow and black signs that read, Fallout Shelter. Those signs are what led reporter Laura Schulte of the Wausau Daily Herald on a tour of the area's Cold War sites. These are sites that are largely forgotten today, but they take us back to an era of underground fallout shelters and duck and cover drills at school. Laura joins me now with some of what she learned. Welcome.
Hi.
Let's start at one of the places you found those fallout shelter signs, an old radar base in Antigo. What was this base then, and what is it now?
It opened back in the early 50s, you know, right at the height of the Cold War fears. Marathon County had banned Russian diplomats from even entering the area, and it's part of the Pine Tree Line, which is bases across the upper part of the United States. And these bases were made to monitor for planes that were supposedly coming over, you know, the North Pole. So it was a highly functioning, you know, radar base up until the early 70s when it closed. And today it's kind of a jungle. The windows are broken out of the building. There are trees growing out of like cracks in the buildings. It's been forgotten, just kind of like the Cold War was.
Marathon County, Wisconsin was not, to anyone's knowledge, a high priority target for Soviet nuclear planes or missiles, but there were these designated fallout shelters in the area, as they were in many parts of the country, in public buildings, and then even in some houses. You visited a fallout shelter in a house. What was it like in there?
It was actually really cool. So this house was built in the early 60s, and it was just a very, very small room with, you know, it had two doors. You had to walk through one door, and there's a little room, and you walk through another door to get in, so there's that two-level protection there. There was space for a couple of like bunk beds, and there was basically a full kitchen in there with a sink, and there was a bathroom. It was designed for people to live in there for a long period of time. I can't imagine living with an entire family in that small of a space, but it was really cool to see the level of fear that people had and the amount of money they were willing to spend to protect themselves from something that could or could not happen during that time period.
I wanted to ask you about that fear, because you talked with the residents who remember participating in these drills, especially in schools, that they would run in case of a nuclear attack. And the further we get from that time period, the more those kinds of precautions get looked at as novelties or even absurdities. But do the people who sat in those classrooms and took part in those drills remember them with fear?
I mean, I think it really depends on the person. There was one man that I talked to that was like, I was more worried about the neighborhood baseball game than I was about the fear of the Cold War. But there was one woman, she said when she was little, she would watch the news with her parents, and she was watching, you know, those movies and things about how scary nuclear fallout was. And then going to school and having to sit through these drills was very frightening for her. She was scared, and, you know, just the thought being so real that the Soviets had so much power that they could attack us was a very, very real and everyday worry that she had.
One last fascinating fact. There was, in the Cold War, a contingency plan for Wisconsin state government if Madison were to be hit by an atomic bomb, and it led to Marathon County?
It would have established Stevens Point as the new capital for the state of Wisconsin.
So maybe in some bizarre dystopian alternate universe, you're the Wisconsin State Capitol reporter instead of being the going out reporter.
Maybe.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.